Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth.
Good morning, Margaret. Are you having a nice day back there in Tennessee?
Very nice. It rained some last night, and maybe raining today, but it's nice. It's not bad. The temperature has been in the 80s during the daytime. It's kind of unusual.
I just heard on, it was in the 80s in Michigan, and that's why they were having those tornadoes.
Yeah, I know. It's that's what we have for too hot.
Wow. Not too hot here. Good morning.
Good morning, Ruth, Monty.
Good morning, Monty. Glad to hear your voice.
A little late, but I was just going over a few things, and time got away from me.
I know how that can happen. Seems like when I'm starting to get the slides ready to put up, I always notice something that could be a little better. I always try to get the slides up by 10 till. But I was pretty close this morning. I did do a little slide improvement. I wasn't sure which slides you wanted to have up this morning.
Yeah, I don't really know. Just maybe kind of, I don't know if what I'm going to say this morning.
I'll follow you.
Just follow along if you would. If you think there's something there that maybe might refer to in something, then go ahead and slap it up there.
All righty. You need to go and get somebody to snap a picture that's a little more clear. This is clipped out of a distant picture. Be nice to be able to see you a little bit. Are you coming to the power training tomorrow morning?
I think I need to get another picture, huh?
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea. Are you coming to power training tomorrow morning?
Expecting to, yes.
Great. I'll see you there.
Good.
Register with Claudia, because then it includes your breakfast. I don't know if it's a breakfast health style. don't count on that. Good morning, everybody. Let's have you all say who is here and where you're calling from.
Mary Lou from Arizona. Julie Clark from Connecticut.
Julie Clark from Connecticut? Oh, nice. Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, well, we've got a bunch of other beeps, so if you want to say real quickly who you are, and we're even not so quickly, we have a minute or so, who you are and where you're calling from.
This is Mary Hendricks from Lake Tahoe.
Mary Hendricks, it's so nice to hear your voice again.
Thank you. Good morning.
Good morning, good morning. Anyone else want to speak up and tell us who you're calling from? So it's Monty. Monty is our host this morning, our co-host. I'm not exactly what wording to use for that, but Monty is very good with his words and teaches us very, very well. He is a gold Mecan distributor, and he lives in Olympia, Washington, and we all love him. So, Monty, take it away.
Thank you, Ruth. There's a lot to love. but anyhow, I will get on with the subject. Welcome everybody that's here this morning. First of all, I want to say that, if you, as I proceed with this, if you have any questions, please feel free to speak up, or if you have anything you need to want to add, please feel free to do that. Usually what we do here on Fridays is we kind of go through the a quick review at the beginning of the program in regards to what went on during the week, so in case possibly somebody wasn't able to be on the call, that they can always go and listen to it at allswell.org, allswell.org, and pull up the recorded call that Steve does for us every morning, and possibly re-listen to it to better understand what was more talked about, because we don't have time to go into everything. So So basically, again, welcome to everybody new on the call. And for those of you that have been here for every call since the beginning of this new program, appreciate each and every one of you. Ruth on Monday talked about her main subject was body language. In other words, what do we do in regards to some things that our body does? So we need to learn to listen to our body and the ways that it talks to you in regards to food in particular or your health. And one of the things that we find that when we eat, people eat certain types of foods, and it doesn't mean that you have to be overweight or it doesn't mean you have normal weight. It's a conglomeration of everything, and that our bodies do talk to us through ways of, like, you might eat something and have a headache, or you might have fatigue, or you have a digestion problems, or you have low blood sugar, or you have high blood sugar, and how that particular feels. Just the brain sluggish, having what we call a brain fog, in other words. Some people talked about having a certain blood clots and doing things like that, that our body, if we listen to, we learn to listen to our body, that our body tells us what's really kind of going on within our particular body. We talked about how exercise is real good. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be long, strenuous exercise, but just every day get some exercise in, whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or an hour or a half hour, but just do something. One of the person had leg cramps, and what can we do to kind of get that headed in the right direction? Tuesday, Karen Eastwood took over the call from Martha Sue, and that was kind of Karen wanted to carry on the tradition of a Transparent Tuesday. So basically, people reported the points, and we have a chart that you can actually go to. And we have a maximum of 10 points that people can get. And so those people reported their points. For those that measured, talked about that. And good things that are helping by being on this program. And that's the other nice thing, is that people do report some good feelings they've had. And some people report some situations that they need to get better. Also, Karen introduced her new co-host, who was Donna Neighbors, and Donna talked about how she has come up with a way of basically recording and journaling in her notebook of health and how the body feels, and that was very informative to a whole lot of us. We really appreciated Donna and Karen on their first call, which I thought was basically excellent. On Wednesday, Mary Lou talked about commitment and how we feel about being in charge of ourselves. And she talked about taking charge of our own health. In other words, you know, we have a price to pay. Are you willing to pay it? And then what are you willing to do to make up that, set that goal or whatever your particular function is? She has gotten off of gluten-free. I mean, she has went to gluten-free. And since that, she has feel better by removing gluten, as much gluten as she possibly can from her diet. Foods can be more powerful than drugs. And she kind of talked about going to her doctor, and her doctor, she telling her doctor that, oh my gosh, the doctor recommended some drugs, and she just kind of explained to him a certain situation, and he made the comment, well, I guess what you're trying to tell me is, you're wanting 90 days before to do something on your own before I recommend some medication for you. And I certainly do believe that foods can be more powerful than drugs. We just have to understand what foods those are, and understanding that our body is alkaline and acidic, and so there are certain foods that are alkaline, there are certain foods that are acidic, so we want to take our body and get it in balance by eating the right foods for that to happen in our body, which in turn, the more alkaline we become and creating that balance, the more healthful we become. And understanding that, yes, we're going to eat some acidic foods, but if we need to counterbalance that by making sure that we have some alkaline foods, and in the chart you're seeing on the screen, that has been very helpful to a lot of us. Some of them, people have even taken this particular slide and downgraded it I should say downsized it and carry it around with them when they go to the grocery store. So I thought that was very important. Thursday, Ruth talked about our mission in having an anti-inflammatory, having an anti-inflammation body. In other words, getting the inflammation out of our body. That so much of the diseases that are out there basically come from inflammation. And I thought, and that is our purpose. A lot of people, when they hear about this call, they think, oh, I don't need to lose weight. Or, I don't want to hear about those kind of things. But unfortunately, people can have inflammation that doesn't necessarily show up on the outsides of their body. Like I can always tell for me when my fingers swell up or my leg swells up or whatever, I know that I have eaten something that's causing that inflammation. So this calls are important for everybody as far as I'm concerned. And I don't care if you're the healthiest person in the world. There might be one thing that you hear on this call all week long that makes you feel better or understanding your body better and how you can, what you can do to take care of it. And she also talked about how to avoid the toxins. And we're under such an attack nowadays in our foods, particularly processed foods and canned foods that people eat, that there's so much toxins out there. And she talked about how she went out, she did a meeting, I believe it was in Seattle or maybe it was further up north, to where she had a bowl of soup prior to doing the meeting, but yet she talked to the people and wanted to know if they had any MSG in their products. And the restaurant advised them that no, there's no MSG in any of their particular products. So she had a clear soup because she didn't want a lot to eat before she did the meeting, and she had an attack, a very severe attack. She got flush and had some other situations, and people noticed it. So we just got to watch how our bodies absorb it. Now, Ruth, in my opinion, and I think Ruth would agree to this because of her genetics that she said, I believe it was her folks, her mother, or had that particular problem also, and that is that Ruth is very, very sensitive to MSG. Now, I don't feel I'm that sensitive to MSG, but one thing Mary Lou said is that I think very important, that even though we're not sensitive to a particular toxin that is in our body, that doesn't necessarily mean that it's not affecting our body. And I agree with that. I believe that certain toxins do build up in our bodies, and that over time, eventually, all of a sudden, we get clobbered. But that isn't just because of that thing we ate that day. It's because over the years or meals or whatever, that all of a sudden our body just reaches a point to where it says, I give up, man. You've just given me too much of this toxin, and it affects us. And we find that so true. And what, of course, is one of the answers that Ruth talked about, and that is the wellness home and how the wellness home is so important. And that's why with the mission that Ruth talked about in the beginning of the call is so important, that we're here to try to spread the word and get as much knowledge as we can as a group of people, so that we can in turn give that knowledge to other people, in particular our family, our friends, our spouses. And the other thing was the support group, that we're here every morning. We get started on a positive, and we felt that it was very, very important. Does anybody else have anything they'd like to say that possibly during the week that they got excited about, or was the one thing that kind of motivated them to continue to eat better and to do the things that we're doing? Feel free to speak up. Okay. One of the things I talked about yesterday, we got to talk about certain things, and one of the things that I'd like to talk to you about is that when last couple weeks ago on a Friday, I wasn't able to make the call because of my sister had a medical situation which had to be taken care of. She happened to mention that some of you are out there listening to or reading a book by a Mark Hyman, MD. It was called Ultra Metabolism, How to Boost Our Body and to Eat the Certain Type of Foods that were important to our bodies, and how we can take, by eating foods that we can make our metabolism increase. And when our metabolism increases, of course, we burn energy, we burn fat, and we become healthier. Roberts, and I kind of did a little research into that individual, and matter of fact, I did order up his book, so I end up on his newsletter, of course, the way it always happens. But he sent something out the other day that I thought was very important, and we have discussed it in this program, and it has to do about the food industry and the things we eat and how the government does certain things, and the FDA and those kind of organizations that get involved in our regulating certain things in the food industry and what kind of food for us. And, of course, they always so this information I'm giving you comes from basically that newsletter, I want you to know. And that our government and our food industry both encourage personal responsibility when it comes to the battling the overweight and obese epidemic and its associated diseases. And they say, they always come out and they always say, well, people need to exercise more. They need to be more in self-control. They need to make better choices. They need to avoid overeating and reduce their intake of sugar, sweeteners, drinks, and processed foods. And we are led to believe that there is no good food or no bad food. I mean, they never talk about that. They never talk about what's the best foods or the bad food. Oh, yeah, they give us a pyramid to and what we think we might want to eat or whatever, but they never talk about the bad food or the good food, and it's all a matter of balance. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, and there's been discoveries in science and prove that industrial processed sugar, fat, and salt-laden food that is made in plants, get this, that is made in plants rather than grown on a plant or a plant itself. And they found those to be biologically addictive. Now, I guess in the newsletter here, he talks about, imagine a foot-high pile of broccoli or a giant bowl of apple slices. Do you know anyone who would binge broccoli or apples? In other words, sit down and just gorge on a bowl of broccoli or apples until they just couldn't eat anymore. On the other hand, imagine a mountain of potato chips or a whole bag of cookies or a pint of ice cream. And they're easily to imagine vanquishing unconsciously. They're gone. That's all because of the addictive drugs and the things that are in cookies and chips, soda pop, and like their process. You know, we had a Nancy Reagan, when it came to heroin and dope and drugs and those kind of things, she had a policy of just say no. And I'm not saying it wasn't a good policy, but we have a pretty big drug problem in America today. And so that kind of didn't work. So that's kind of you can't try to tell a cocaine addict or an alcoholic just to say no after the first snort, and it's pretty hard. Nobody chooses to be overweight, fat, obese, or whatever. And the behavior basically rises out of a primitive neurochemical reward centers in our brain that override, now get this, and this has been one of my problems, and I've admitted that in this call, that overrides our normal willpower and overwhelm our ordinary biological signals that control hunger. And what do I mean by that? Well, consider, why do cigarette smokers continue to smoke knowing that they're probably going to get lung cancer or very susceptible to lung cancer? Why do 20% of alcoholics successfully quit drinking? Why do addicts continue to use cocaine and heroin despite their lives being destroyed? Well, why does quitting caffeine lead to irritability and headaches? And I find that to be so true. And it's because basically these substances are biologically addictive. And that is why it's very hard for people to lose weight despite the social stigma and health consequences such as high blood pressure, diabetes, heart disease, arthritis, and even cancer, even though they have an intense desire to lose weight. And I find that, you know, even all the times in my life that I've been overweight, I've always had that great desire. I need to lose weight. It's not because I wanted to be overweight, it's because certain types of food are addictive. And I talked to you, some of you, not too long ago about what I was, before I got on this new program, from the old program, and then I went backslid and gained a lot of weight and started eating crazy again. And it all because of certain types of food addictive, and I certainly believe that. because foods made of sugar and fat and salt can be addictive. Especially, now get this, especially when combined in secret ways the food industry will not share or make public. And we talked about that, about MSG, on Ruth's call yesterday, is that how the food industry has now putting MSG in our products, but it's not called MSG or modium sodium glutamate or whatever. It's called other things, such as flavoring or spices, or there's just ways that the government has allowed the food industry to put MSG into our product because MSG is basically very, very addictive. Anybody have any comments at this time? I don't want to keep, if you feel like something you want to say or make a comment, please feel free to do so.
Monty, I'd like to ask everybody who is making any noise or maybe walking to please star 6 to mute. You can unmute if you want to say something, that somebody is walking or something and it's causing some noise. Thank you. You got it. I hope that the person who wanted to say something, Monty, didn't mute themselves, because we do like to have a discussion.
Well, if they do, all they have to do is star 6 and come back on, and you know, we'll definitely wish and hope and listen to what they have to say.
Monty, this is Mary Hendricks.
Yes, Mary.
Who is the author of the book that you mentioned? Again, I missed that.
Mark Hyman.
Mark Hyman.
And I believe that's H-Y-M-A-N. And I got that information from Ruth because I guess some of the people on the call had talked about the call or the book in regards to metabolism.
Awesome, thank you.
And I ordered up his new book, too, which is all about blood sugar, because being a diabetic, I felt that was very important. But he's kind of a doctor that is pretty much functional medicine. In other words, he basically does what Ruth tells us to do, and that's listening to our body. In other words, when you go to the doctor, what do you tell the doctor? You tell the doctor everything the doctor needs to know if you do go to doctors? Or do you just tell the doctor what you think you want him to hear? Or do we sometimes we go to the doctor and we don't say certain things to the doctor because we feel guilt, you know, or we don't bring up everything. We don't feel it's important to us. But I've always believed this, you know, if you don't tell a person the truth, whether it be in life or a doctor, the person that responds to you can only respond to you in regards to the information that you give them. And that's the way Dr. Hyman feels, is that he, when he gets into things, he really wants to know everything. And I think that's very important. The food you eat, everything, because that's the way he believes.
Monty, that's why what Donna had to say on Wednesday was so good. And keeping that journal and really writing those things down on that is something I really should do, because I go to the doctor and I just don't tell him anything. I don't know if I expect him to read my mind or what, but that journal, if I would get myself keeping that journal, that would certainly be helpful if I have to go to the doctor or if I just even go to the naturopath.
I think it's true, and I think I don't know if Donna mentioned this or not, I think she did, but that is, you know, when you come up against something in your life that all of a sudden you have a question about, you need to write it down someplace and take that notebook with you. When you do go to the doctor, you have the information to tell the doctor, plus you have the questions that you want to ask the doctor. My sister has that problem. She goes to the doctor, and she comes home, and I said, well, what did you tell her about your urination problem? Well, no, I really didn't. I kind of forgot about it. And I go, well, you know, how do you go to the doctor? You got to pay the copay. You're there giving the information. You know, if this is a problem in your life, and it is causing a problem in her life, talk to your doctor about it, you know. There's other ways you can do, too, but, you know, get some advice. See what needs to happen. So thank you for bringing that up. And, again, I just want to thank Donna. I don't know if she's on the call. Yeah, she is on the call. You know, that's very, very important, the comments that she made. And, again, we really appreciate it. Anybody else have any comments you want to make?
I want to tell the people who are not on the WebEx that definitely we welcome your comments as well. I know that there's at least twice as many people that listen than the ones who are on the WebEx, and so we'd like to hear from you as well.
Let's look at another subject of addiction. Let's look at what possibly cocaine addiction, heroin people that are on those kind of drugs, and then the addiction of food. And so let's look, when we look at a heroin addict, the substance basically is taken in a larger amount and for longer period, okay? Then people that are addicted to food is a classic symptom in people who habitually overeat. I was one of those. A person that is on drugs persistently desire or repeated unsuccessfully attempts to quit. You know? Well, people that overeat consider the repeated attempts at diet. So many overweight people go through. How many times have I been on a diet in my life to lose probably the thousands of pounds that I've lost? So that's the same type of situation. Much as time, activity is spent to obtain use of the drugs to recover from them. And then the person that is addicted to food, those repeated attempts to lose weight take time. And sometimes people don't want to do that. They just don't want to take the time to do those particular type of things. People that have addictions of drugs, the importance of social, occupational, recreational activities, given up and reduced because they know the kind of condition they're in and they don't want to be around people. Well, what does a person do that basically overeats and has even health problems, okay, besides weight? I see this in so many patients who are overweight and abuse, he says. And I find that so true. How many activities have I not gone to? I'll take, for instance, a class reunion. And maybe some of you can relate to this, and I've heard it on this call. Well, I need to lose 10 pounds because I'm getting ready to go to class reunion. Well, for those of us that are overweight, that's pretty much the same thing. Sometimes we don't want to go to a family function, a family reunion, a class reunion, even just to get out into public sometimes because we think somebody's going to see us because we're overweight, and the first thing they're going to say, you know, we're going to feel guilt. Now, I'll bring this up, and I haven't done it on this call, but, you know, I went through some situations with my mother where she passed away, and I cared for her for almost basically 2 years. And I found that I really gained a lot of my weight back for whatever particular reason. It doesn't matter. You know, a lot of it is basically just what we're talking here about, food addiction, you know, and how sometimes we eat just to get away from stress because it's food. Sometimes food can be very comforting. You know, the idea of being feeling full feels so good, you know, so I overate. But, you know, when I'm sure I went over to Ruth's here about just before the call started, I think it was the end of December. And, you know, it was real hard for me to go over to Ruth's place because I knew, even though Ruth's a wonderful person, I knew that when she saw me, probably what she thought. And I'm not going to say it's bad. But I'm going to say and Karen, I saw Karen Eastwood, and it was the same way. And I had to fight that in order to get in that car and drive over and get on the ferry and go over to Vashon. Even though, I was there for the information, but it was difficult for me to come eye to eye with somebody that has seen me lose so much weight and then go backwards and gain it all back. Is, you know, we have those kind of situations for those of us that are obese. And I'm sorry I'm getting a little bit emotional, but those are the fears and the stresses that a lot of people that are overweight and excuses we make not to go out into public or maybe even go to church. It's just crazy because we just don't want to see people how we are. We know that what we are and we know what we're doing, but we continue to do it. And I believe a lot of it has to do with the foods that we eat because of the stuff that are being put into our foods and how we're marketed. And, you know, it's just real important to me right now. You know, just like all the things that we have. Look at the marketing that goes on television in regards to children and the foods that they eat. You know, are these foods healthy, you know? No, they're not. It's just, it's kind of crazy. But yet we you know, look at the food that I was eating, the junk food and the crap that I was eating in regards to, just because it was fast food. You know, you got to get to the, you know, I don't have the time to cook dinner meals. I'm a single person. I don't know how, you know, I don't really like to cook. So, what, man, it was so easy just to go to the fast food place and order up whatever. But like I said, you know, when you go to fast food, when you go to McDonald's for breakfast every morning, and you have, like I said, a number two, which is a sausage McMuffin with egg, hash brown, and a diet and a drink of some sort, which mine was always Diet Coke. And then order up 3 more hash browns and 2 more sausage McMuffins and eat that food in order to feel comfortable or feel full. I look at, you know, instead of just ordering the number 2, and I feel a lot of it had to do with the willpower, and a lot of it had to do with the stuff that was in the food that wanted, that was, my body was craving. And when our bodies crave sugar and fat and all those kind of things, just bad things happen to us. And that's what I think is very important. You know, we start eating. So I find that when I start eating certain foods, I end up eating much more than I had planned. And then not eating certain types of foods or cutting down on certain types of food is something I worry about. I spend a lot of time feeling sluggish or lethargic from basically overeating. And even though I continue to overeat, and what I would have for lunch and whatever, it wasn't like going in and ordering a 10 nuggets. It was, I had to, boy, when they came out with that $4.99 20-piece nugget special, I was in heaven. And I'm just saying that we are got to be more aware of the food that we're eating, the food we're putting in our children, and the way that we're buying, and being concerned about being too busy to do certain things, or sit down with a family and cooking it and have a good meal of good old whole foods and good type proteins and those type of things. Let's talk a little bit about what this basically sugar does to our bodies. And I thought it was very, this kind of amazed me, is that sugar stimulates the brain's reward centers through the neurosystem dopamine, exactly like addictive drugs. They've taken brain scans and they've shown that high sugar and fat foods work just like heroin or opium or morphine in the brain. The brain responds the same way to cocaine. Foods high in fat and sweets stimulate the release of the body's own opiates. Now, what are opiates? Opiates are things like morphine. You know, it's stimulated in our brain. People develop a tolerance to sugar. In other words, they need more and more of the substance to satisfy themselves, just like they do drugs. And I find that to be so, so true. Just like drugs, after initial period of enjoyment of the food, the user no longer consumes them to get high, but they start feeling normal. And I'm sure that was the reason that I had to eat, was eating the way that I was, that not realizing that I was a food addict at that particular time, but I just had to, I had to feel normal. And the normal with me wasn't to be full. Normal to me was be overly full. Overexhausted, feeling lethargic, feeling the brain fog. That was all became normal to me in my life until, again, this one got back on this wonderful program. And these problems with food addiction are compounds by the fact that the food manufacturers refuse to release any internal data on how they put ingredients together to maximize consumption of their food products. I know I've gotten a little bit off subject today about how we normally talk about the whole foods and that sort of stuff, but it's all about choices, and we need to make good choices, and that's what this program does for us. It puts us, again, back on that right path to better understand the choices that we make in our bodies and the crud we're putting in our blood vessels and how our blood vessels are getting so clogged up with the kind of food that we have been eating so much time. And, you know, it's very important, and how that, the stuff that we have for breakfast, you know, the protein shake that we have, you know, how to eat the alkaline, acidic foods the way that we need to do. What does our plate need to look like? That sort of stuff is so important. And unfortunately, and we talked about this Thursday, and I mentioned it, unfortunately, there is little more than propaganda from industry interested in profit, not in nourishing the nation. And I find that so true. It's just like, you know, I'm sure Ruth and Karen over, you know, living in the east and side of the mountains know about how farmers have subsidies. You know, wheat farmers have subsidies not to grow wheat or corn, and they get subsidies for all these particular things that we find now that, look at all the money that goes towards subsidizing farmers to raise corns for food and ethanol and all that kind of stuff. Well, it would be nice if all of a sudden they put up some subsidies for people to produce fruits and vegetables. 80% of the government subsidies presently go to soy and corn, which are used to create much of the junk foods we consume. We need to rethink subsidies. And I don't want to get into government policies and all that kind of stuff, but we need to balance our blood sugars. We need to eat nutritious breakfasts with some protein, like eggs protein, a protein shake or nut butters. And we also have smaller meals throughout the day. And also we need to avoid eating 3 hours before bedtime. You know, one of the things I liked about this program was you can get on this program and you can just eat as much as you want. Kathy talks about that in her book, The TQI, to quiet inflammation. Well, I think sometimes that even though I go to sit down to have a real good salad or I sit down to have a nice big breakfast, I even find sometimes I even make them bigger than what I know they should be. And I that is one thing that I need to overcome. So I guess the way that I need to think about myself, and that is that I am an addict to food, and so I needed that, and I need to learn to control that, whether it be good whole foods or whatever. It's all based upon proportion and balanced meals, and I need to make sure that that continues. And that's why this support group every morning is so important, and they found that no matter what kind of a condition you have, health, mental, weight, whatever, that people that are involved in a support group and are there to support other people with their particular problems and understanding and explain their goods and their bads, that's why this call, in my opinion, is one of the better things that I've ever done in my life. And for all the people that host this call, I really want to say thank you. And for those people that speak up or on the call, whether you speak up or you don't, you're here and we're here to support you in any way we possibly can. And Ruth, that's about all I have to say for this Friday.
Monty.
And we'll just leave it there. Does anybody have any questions or comments that you'd like to make?
I would like to make a comment, Monty. This is Mary Lou, and I want to thank you so much for your transparency today, because I know there have been many times that I've dreaded going somewhere, and I know how much courage it took for you to go. I've passed up reunions and those kind of things, so it's not just you. There's others of us out here that suffer those same struggles, and also about your eating to handle stress. I've been there myself, so thank you for having the courage to speak up, and because I don't think you and I are the only two people that have been there. So thank you.
Monty, I shall never, this is Karen, and I shall never forget that day on Vashon Island when I saw you. And I've got to tell you that it was with such joy that I saw Monty that nothing else mattered. And then to hear that you were going to participate on these calls just thrilled me. I'd just heard about the calls, and I was really excited to know that we would be reconnected again. And everything that you've shared with us today, I'm sure has connected with many of us, because I'm one of those who've lost many, many, many pounds, and then I've put it back on. But I know that I must have a consistent way of taking care of this one body that I have. And I just appreciate what you have done for all of us, not only on this call, but on the calls that we had on the prior lifestyle call. I always referred to you and thought about, you know, the successes and the determination you've had through the years. And I want to share with everybody something that has nothing to do with losing weight. I was in a car accident almost 2 years ago, and it tore the cartilage in my sternum. And after getting over the initial pain, at times I've had pain in my sternum. And I was told by one doctor I'll have that probably all my life. And so last evening, yesterday, I was trying to finish a project that I'm in charge of tomorrow for Saturday. And I was painting.
and I was painting outside where it's cold, which was silly, but anyway, I had to get... Well, last night, I had such extreme pain in my sternum that it was almost impossible to move. And if it were not for Nikon products, I don't know how I would have ever gotten any sleep. And said, in fact, I got such good sleep that I overslept and wasn't here at the beginning. So I missed some of your call, and I apologize. But I just want everybody to know that it is so important to have these Nikon products on hand so that when your body has to have some kind of relief, that you will have something to be able to rely on. Thanks.
Monty, I would like to also say, this is Ruth, that the joy that I had that when you came out to our house, all I felt was the joy of having you back. And I knew that you've been taking care of your mother and been housebound pretty much and just really cared for her constantly. And I was just so happy to have you back. I never noticed about your weight. I knew you had already told me you had gained some weight back, and I just thought, well, you know, who wouldn't if they were in that situation? And I might mention also, even though I'm not overweight, there are reasons that I have always have hesitated to go to group meetings because of, I guess you'd probably say my shyness. You guys probably never thought I was shy, but it is very, very hard for me to go into a group and be able to be there for more than 5 or 10 minutes with just a regular group. Now with NECAM people, I'm not shy, but with pretty much everybody else, it's a difficult situation for me. So we all have something that we see, these feelings we have, and so a support group is very helpful, huh?
Very helpful. The other thing I want both you and Karen to know is that there was a book laying on your coffee table there where Karen and I was sitting on the couch, and Karen opened up the book, and she said that you had talked to her a little bit about it for whatever reason, I don't know, and it had to do about faith. And, you know, there's all kinds of faith. There's religious faith. There's faith in other individuals. But I think in Karen talking to me about that book, about faith, that I came out of that day having building and wanting to know that I have the faith to get back to where I was, to do what I need to do, and just want to let you know I really appreciated that day. And see, even though you didn't feel about my overweight, I did. And that's what I say, it's the guilt, it's the addiction, it's the feeling that why sometimes we don't become social and do the things that we need to do that we need to do. So just thanks again for everything, and I know we're way over on time. The call normally doesn't last this long, but and I know I didn't get into a lot of the foods and that kind of stuff, but that's coming up. The week's coming up, and Ruth, I'm sure you'll have some good things to say, and every one of the hosts will this coming week. So if you are newly on the program or been here forever, stay with us because we need your support. And we try to educate and give you knowledge to help you and your family have a better life. And with the Nikon products that we have and the nutritions and the ways we can get rid of these toxins in our body through water and air and have the good sleep that we need to have and whatever, and we continue to have faith and belief in the company that and ourselves, that we're all headed in the right direction. So if that's it, nobody's got anything else to say, we'll wrap up this Friday the 16th. And everybody have a great weekend, and we'll hear you all, or talk to you all, on Monday. Ruth will be our host at that particular time. Have a great weekend.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.